Well, as I pulled in to the parking lot today, I realized, I was like, whoa, hold up. It's the 29th, all right, of September, which means it's actually 5 years ago today, okay, we launched our campus here in Tiffin. And so just kind of crazy to think about. It's weird. Doesn't seem like 5 years ago. And some of you guys were here for that launch Sunday. Most of you were not, okay, which is awesome. That's how we want it. As we look around, and if you were part of our 200-person launch team and put in a bunch of work to make this happen, you know, it's crazy to look around, and it's fun for us to look around and see what God has done here, all right, because this doesn't happen everywhere, and God has used our hard work more than I could have ever had imagined, and so it's just fun to see, and we're not done yet, right? I mean, we got a lot of work to do here. And we will be talking about that this winter, and so that's a topic for another day. And so today, we are going to be talking about our friendships and relationships. We're going to continue on in our talk about those, because if we're honest with ourselves, and I hope you are, our friendships and our relationships are broken, okay? None of us are experts on that type of thing, and that's been the case since the very beginning. Adam and Eve, they had relationship issues together, all right? They were the only two people at one point on the planet, all right? They had relationship issues. The next generation, Cain and Abel, all right? They had major relationship issues all the way down the line to us. Every single one of us, we all struggle with relationships. And if you're sitting there and you're like, nah, I don't really have any issues with anybody right now, or I've never really had any issues within my relationships, I'm just saying either you're lying to yourself or you have no true friends, okay? So you can pick whichever one you want the best, but it's just true, all right? Now, one of the ways that our relationships and our friendships break down is that we find those who we have relationships with to sometimes, once in a while, maybe for some people all the time, I don't know, all right, but sometimes we find the people that we are in relationships with to be too judgmental, okay? Have you ever felt that before? We're like, hey, why are you judging me? All right, hey, why are you all over me? I remember in high school, I had this friend that that she always commented every single time whenever we were trying to make like plans, or hey, we're gonna meet here at 5 or whatever, she would always make some snarky comment that would be like, well, because I had a reputation of being late, okay? But she was always like, well, if we're gonna meet at 5, we might as well meet at 5:30, all right? Because we all know Zach's gonna be late. You know, she would say things like that all the time. And it was so frustrating. Oh, you know, Zach's not gonna be on time, because I'm like, here's the deal. You know, you are judging me before I even have the opportunity to do the thing that you think that I'm gonna do. You know, like, at least give me the shot to not be late. You get what I'm saying? Like, after I'm late, that's totally fine. You can dog me. All right, that makes sense. That seems fair, even. All right, but before, all right, I haven't even done it yet, and you're dogging me for that. And so that type of thing, I mean, that just drives us crazy when our friends and our family members or the people that we have relationships with, our coworkers, our boss, whoever it might be with, all right, for you, it drives us crazy when we feel like they judge us in that way. And when we perceive that our friends or our parents or family or coworkers or boss, or maybe it's your in-laws, all right, are too judgmental, at least if you're like me, it bothers you, right? Like it's not just annoying to you, it bothers you. Like, it just rubs you the wrong way. And many times, what we end up doing is we react to that, and we push back. And sometimes we do this, if we're Christians, if we're a really good Christian, all right, we'll do this quoting Jesus. So we'll use Jesus to get back at him. This is what we say, all right? We quote verses like Matthew 7. Like this, all right? I know it. It's super short, so I can just say it, but, you know, want to read along with you guys, okay? He says, we quote things like, hey, didn't Jesus say do not judge? Right? Didn't Jesus say, like we shouldn't judge? You know, who are you to judge? Stop being so judgmental. We quote verses like do not judge so that you won't be judged. And that's usually where we stop. If we're a good Christian, that's where we stop right there. If we're not a Christian, all right, this is probably the most overused, most well-known verse in all of the Bible for someone who who's not a believer. All right? The problem is, when you're reading the Bible, right, you need to read more than one sentence, okay? That's what makes sense. And in fact, just a few sentences later, Jesus is going to call a bunch of people dogs and pigs. And I'm just saying, sounds a little judgy to me, But that's what he does. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at what Jesus really says about this thing called judging. It's something that we hate to feel, all right, when people are judging us, something that we are all probably more prone than we realize to do when it comes to judging other people. And so let's just look at what Jesus has to say. We're going to have to read more than one verse to get there, okay? Make sense? Okay, you ready for this morning?
Yeah.
All right, good. You won't be saying that afterwards, but okay. All right, this might be a little hard this morning, which those are the best ones. Okay, so Jesus says, he's talking to a whole crowd of people one day, and he says, hey, do not judge so that you won't be judged. And for you will all be judged by the same standard in which you judge others. Okay, so here he is. All right, he's saying, do not judge. But then it's almost like in the next sentence, he's assuming that we are judging. And you're like, okay, wait, Jesus, what's going on here? Like, hold up. Like, are we supposed to judge? Are we not supposed to judge? What do you mean by this whole judgment thing? And so what Jesus is saying here, this isn't about being judgmental. What he's talking about in the second part, this is about exercising good judgment. Now, I'm going to attempt to kind of define the differences between these. And this is just kind of how my mind works. So maybe, you know, yours is different. I don't know what Webster would say or whatever. But being judgmental, which is something that we all do, is something that we do more than we think, is when I'm judgmental, that's me half forming an opinion about you. Okay, in order to do that, I have to make a bunch of assumptions that I feel like I know about you. I have to make some assumptions about what I think you're thinking and what's going on inside, right? And those assumptions, they might be true, maybe not, right? But every time we do this, when we or somebody else are judgmental, what we're doing is we look down upon others. Like, it just kind of comes along with the territory. We always, 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 when we are judgmental towards other people, we always view ourselves as better, all right? We think to ourselves, I'm better at this, I'm better at that, all right? I'm better in this certain area. Maybe there's people in your life that you're looking at, and you're like, man, I think, like, I'm looking at your whole body of work here. I'm looking at your whole life, and you're like, man, I just think I'm better at life than you, like at everything, all right? See, that is what we do. That is being judgmental, and that's the part that we are not, that's the first part that we are not to do. We are not to judge in that way. Now, exercising good judgment is different. Right, exercising good judgment is something that we're going to see today that is meant to not only help ourselves choose between what's right and wrong and things like that, what's best for our life, but also to help the people that we are in relationships with. How many of you guys watched the Olympics this past summer? Okay, a few people. How many of you guys watched the break dancing? All right, you know what I'm talking about? A lot of us do. Okay, that lady from Australia who was the break dancer, and you're like, is that breakdancing? Is that flopping around? You get what I'm saying? Like, we've seen the videos. What's crazy to me is when I see that, like when I saw that, I'm like, what is going on? Like, it almost feels like a joke. Like, she's mocking the whole thing, and you're like, no, she's serious. You see that, and it's just like the question I have. I'm like, where were her friends? You know what I mean? Like, where were the people in her life to say, hey, I get you're passionate about this. Like I get you really want to do this, and I get on the inside you're good at this, you know. But I don't know if this is for you, or I don't know if this is where you should be going. I don't know if this is the thing that you should be doing. You know, how do your friends let you do that? This is kind of the question that kind of pops up in my mind. Like, and here's this poor lady. She got the whole world mocking her, you know, this past summer. Like, everybody is, and it's just like where were her friends? See, good judgment helps us when we have those things in our life, helps us stop things like that because we have people in our life that kind of point those things out, right? Good judgment is different. Good judgment is more of a black and white thing, right? Good judgment is something that we use based on facts and based on what's true and what's false, or what's good for you versus what's bad for you, or what's right and wrong. And for those of us who are Christians in here, for us, right, really the main thing that we need to be thinking about when it comes to exercising good judgment is that we are looking at, in light of what God has called me to do with my life, or what is the best thing for me to do, right? Like, in light of what God has called me to do in my life, what is the best thing for them to do? The question is, what does God say, right? And what does God want? See, us taking into account the way that God has called us to live our life, that's not being judgmental, right? But exercising good judgment, which Jesus is telling us to actually do. But Exercising good judgment within our relationships, as we all know, can be messy. And it can cause issues. And it's hard. And so I think Jesus got that. Like, I think Jesus understands that. And so he tries to illustrate this. He illustrates this. And I'm guessing when he does this, all right, picture this big crowd of people in front of him. And he does this. I think he does this kind of smiling. He's kind of joking around. He's having a good time as he's telling them, as he's talking about judging. And the way he does this is he asks a question. He says, hey, all right, let me ask you a question, okay? He says, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye? Now, I don't like the word splinter, because even thinking about a splinter in your eye just kind of freaks me out. You get what I'm saying? Like, it makes my eyes hurt. And so I think a better word, in fact, I think a better word overall, not just because that one hurts me, is the word speck, okay? We've all had a speck in our eye. Something in your eye. You can call it whatever you want. Speck, okay, whatever. All right. So picture it like speck. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why do you look at this tiny little thing in your brother's eye? All right. Although for us, when we look at other people, and he's relating the speck to something in somebody's life, all right, that is not right. Something in somebody's life that should not be there. Something in somebody's life that is what the Bible would call sin, that's not good for them. And so for us, when we look at other people, we see how they've wronged us, or we see the things in their life that we're like, wow, that should not be there. All right, for us, as we look at other people, if you're like me, it never looks like a speck to us. Have you noticed that? I mean, we never look at somebody and say, oh, that's just not that big of a deal. That's not a speck. No, for us, and if we were there with Jesus that day, I mean, we would just be like, Jesus, no. No, that's not a small thing that they did. Jesus, this is a big, big deal. This is not a speck. She left me. He didn't do what he promised, right? They stole my idea. They humiliated me. And Jesus, this is not the first time that this has happened, right? This is a problem. See, for us, when we look at other people, and we, especially if they've wronged us somehow, but we look at other people, we see the things in their life that should not be there. It always feels like to us more than a splinter or a speck to us. But that's what Jesus calls it. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? See, by the way, I think Jesus was funny. All right, he's a normal guy. Like, I think Jesus is like kind of joking around. I think he's kind of laughing. I think the crowd's kind of laughing about this too. All right, because this is the idea that he's painting. He's like, you're worried all about the speck in your friend's eye. All right, but you got this like 2x4 coming out of your head. Okay. And so you're like walking around with this thing, and you don't even realize this. He's like, why do you do that? All right, you don't even notice. You got like a beam of wood, like a huge old piece of wood coming out of your face. He says, or how can you say to your brother, hey, why don't you let me take the splinter or the speck out of your eye? Which, by the way, isn't that what we do? Right, when we point out things in others' lives, like, it's easy for us to do that. Like, isn't that how we feel when others are judgmental towards us? All right, the whole idea, all right, for us, when we look at somebody else and we see their little speck and we're like, hey, why don't you let me take that out? You know, basically, it's this idea of us going to other people and being like, hey, let me fix you. Okay, some of you guys are really good at this. You're like, let me fix you. I know everything that's wrong with you. I know all your issues. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. Like, that's a problem. This is a problem. You need to take this out of your life. You know all the things, all right, that they need to do to get right, all right? And so you're like, I know where you're wrong. I know where you're off. And I know all your problems. Let me help you. Let me help you by fixing everything in your life, okay? Some of you guys, like, that's totally you. And so Jesus is like, why do you do that? Right? Why do you say to them, hey, let me take all the problems, let me point out all the problems in your eye and look, right? And this word for look, technically it's the word behold, which doesn't mean much to us because we don't use that word, but think of it this way, it's a playful thing. He's like, and wow, or and looky there, or and what do we have here? It's a beam of wood coming out of your own eye. See, Jesus, he's like, here's the deal. You're trying to get this thing out of their eye, and maybe rightly so. Maybe they do have an issue that they need to take out of their life, but what you don't realize is that you got this dang 2x4 coming out of your face, and you can't even get close enough because you keep hitting them in the face with the 2x4 coming out of your head. Like, that's what's going on here. And he's painting this picture. He's just like, that just doesn't work well. All right, that's a problem. And so he's going to correct them here, and he's going to teach us how to do it. He says, no, you guys got this all wrong, okay? This is how you do it. And he kind of looks over at the crowd, and he says, you hypocrite, right? It means you actor, you pretender. He's saying, you faker. First, meaning there's an order to it, right? There's an order to how this thing works. Jesus is saying, you're not wrong about their splinter. Your problem is you just got things out of order, right? You're doing these things not in the right order. He says, first, take the beam of wood out of your eye, right? Meaning for us as Christians, what's that look like? Before we pick up our Bible and we kind of use them as binoculars, like, oh, I see you. Oh, I see that sin. I see that sin. That's a problem. I see that sin over there. You got some issues in your life. Before you pick up your Bible and use them like binoculars and saying, I see you, sinner, right? What we should do is use it as a mirror to our own life. We should be looking at ourselves first. Like for me, I'm just saying, it's easy for me to, man, look at Mike, Pastor Mike, and be like, wow, you got some problems here. You really need to, really need to fix some of these things in your life. Like, I see all them little sawdust specks in his eyes. I'm like, man, I could really, you need me, all right, to help point these things out and help take these things out of your life. Like, I really should. But there's an order to it, is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, first, what he wants me to do is I got to go take a look at my own life and see what I got hiding in my eye that maybe I don't even realize that it's there. And when I do that, what I end up seeing usually, most of the time, is I see like a beam of wood coming out of my face, and I'm just like, wow, I really got to take care of this thing first. And I got this long list of things that I got to get right in my life. Jesus is saying, why don't you start with your own business? But it doesn't end there. He says, first, take the beam of wood out of your eye. How are you going to pull out their little speck if you got this beam of wood in your eye? You have no clarity. He says, and then, right, meaning if you do that, and if you take out this issue that's in your life, if you do that, and if you're humble enough, and if you look at you first, he says, then you will finally see clearly, right, which makes sense, right? It makes sense because you want this thing in your way. All right, you want this thing in your life that's clouding your judgment. Jesus is basically saying, hey, I just want you to see clearly, and you can't do that with that in your eye. And so seeing clear, you will be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. By the way, notice there's a second part here. All right, so of course he's saying, hey, you need to take care of your own stuff. All right, you need to fix the issues in your life. But Jesus says, after you remove the speck from your life, and after you, or the really not speck, after you remove the 2x4 out of your life, the beam of wood, right, after you work on you, he's saying, then I want you to confront them. See, then I want you to confront your friend. Or then I want you to confront your adult son or your adult daughter. Then I want you to confront your sister. Or then I want you to confront your coworker. But that should be done in a loving way. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I got something in my eye and it's bothering me and I come up to you in between services, I'm like, hey, man, I got this like thing. Can you help take care of this? Can you help get the speck out of my eye? And you're a grown man, and you pull out a crowbar out of your pocket. Just saying, number one, I respect you for that, okay? But number two, I think I'm gonna go somewhere else. Nah, I don't think I need you. Like, I'm gonna find another way to get this out. I don't think I wanna use a crowbar. Like, think about it. Mom's like, how do you get something out of your kid's eye? You're gentle with it, right? I mean, they're freaking out. Okay, what do? You're like, you carefully tried to get the thing out. What you don't do is you don't smack them in the side of the head as hard as you can, hoping that it's going to fling out. It doesn't work that way. Like, that's not the best way. And what's cool about it is we actually see this play out in the early church. One time, Paul and Peter, okay, they actually have an issue with each other. And let me kind of give you the context of what's going on. Jesus dies. Okay, this is just a few years after Jesus says these words. But Jesus dies, and he raises from the dead. He goes back up to heaven, and he starts this thing called the church. By the way, the church is not this building, okay? The church is the followers of Jesus doing life together, okay? So it's the people who have given their lives to Jesus and have surrendered to him at some point in their life, all right? We are the church, okay? Not this. And so the church was this cool new thing that was for everybody, all right? Now for us, you know, we live in America, and so we're automatically, ever since we're like little kids, we're taught like, you know, we're all equals and stuff like that, which is good and true, all right? But for back then, all right, for the Jewish people specifically, this whole idea that the church is for everybody, I mean, this was new. And it was kind of hard to grapple with. It was like, whoa, 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 whoa. All of a sudden, the non-Jewish people on par with us. And so the Jewish people kind of struggled with this, at least at the beginning, for a little while. I mean, even Peter struggled with this in different parts. And so you got Paul, he's out there, and Paul starts this church in kind of his hometown at this point called Antioch, and he's kind of doing his thing, and he's got a bunch of non-Jewish people who are a part of it, okay? And so word travels to where Peter's at. Peter's in Jerusalem, all right? So Jewish people everywhere, and Peter, he's like, man, I want to go check this out. Like, it's so crazy to me that God would save the non-Jewish people too, all right? Which is us. Aren't we glad that God did that? Okay, I am. You should be too. So Peter's like, I want to see this with my own eyes. And so Paul writes to us. He tells us about this in Galatians chapter 2. He says, but when Cephas came to Antioch, all right, Cephas, just another name or just another word for Peter. So if you're Catholic, this is your favorite, okay, Peter? It says, when Peter came to Antioch, he says, I opposed him to his face. Right? He doesn't say that he tweeted about him. He didn't get on Facebook and start posting, you know, and tagging him in some post or what most of you guys do, or most of us do. He doesn't get on Facebook and you know, writes this big, long, mean post but doesn't mention the name. Everybody reading the post knows exactly who you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about? I know you guys do this. Never mind. All right? He doesn't do that. All right? I hate Facebook. Anyway, all right? He doesn't do that. No, he opposed him to his face. To me, it's like if the world could just start doing this, all right, if we got a problem with somebody, if we just started opposing them to their faces, the world would be a heck of a lot better, okay? There would be a lot, there would be way less fighting and just be a better thing overall instead of everybody talking about everybody behind their back and just causing all this drama, all right? He says, I didn't do that. I didn't cause drama. I didn't gossip about them. I didn't kind of complain about him to everybody else. No. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. The question is, what did he do? All right, what was the big thing? This is Peter. Like, what did Peter do? He says, for this is what he did. He regularly ate with the Gentiles. By the way, who's the Gentiles? Us. Okay, if you're a non-Jewish person in here, you are a Gentile, okay? That's what the Jewish people called you. He says, for he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James, which is in Jerusalem. I'll explain all this in a second. However, when those Jewish people from Jerusalem came, right, Peter withdrew and he separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. All right, so what's going on here? All right, what did Peter do wrong? All right, here's what happened. Peter shows up. He's coming to check out this church in Antioch. He's pumped about it. And at first, things are going pretty well. I mean, think about it. If you were a part of the church in Antioch, like Peter's coming to visit, wouldn't you want to meet Peter? Right? Maybe not. Okay. I would. I mean, the first question would be like, dude, what was it like with Jesus? Right? Like, how was it with Jesus? What did he do? Like, tell me the stories that you guys didn't put in the Bible. Like, tell me the other stuff. Like, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the good stuff, you know? Tell me all that. I'd be like, dude, how was it like on the Mount of Transfiguration? You got to see Jesus in all of his glory, right? Like, was he mean sometimes? Was he always nice? Was he always smiling? Like, tell me about Jesus. And then I'd be like, you know, how was it walking on water? I'd kind of like to know how that was too. Like, that's a story. That's a crazy story. And so all these people, they're all pumped to see Peter and to meet Peter, and so they throw this together, this like big old cookout, or maybe you're from a smaller church, you call it potluck, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, all right, so they throw this big old thing together, and you got a bunch of non-Jews there, and so, of course, you have a bunch of non-Jewish food, which is the best food, right? It just is. So they got brats, they got ribs, they got steaks, medium rare, okay, all right, everything they got is wrapped in bacon, everything is good. They got the lobster, right? They got all the things that a good Jewish boy wasn't allowed to eat, okay? They had everything. And so here's Peter. He comes to a little church picnic, church cookout, and he pulls up to the table, and he's got all this food sitting there, and he starts to dig in, and Peter's just like, dude, this is so good. Man, this stuff is good. I've never had this before in my entire life. I didn't know how good the Gentiles had it. Like, this is awesome, and everything is good. Until one day, the circumcision party shows up. And you know there ain't no party like a circumcision party. Get what I'm saying? All right. And so these guys show up. And they show up to church because they want to see all these non-Jewish people doing their thing too. And they start teaching something. They start saying, hey, you can only be truly saved if you become fully Jewish. All right? You can't be saved unless you convert to Judaism. And by the way, that means circumcision. And so all you men out there, we got our knives ready. They're all nice and sharp. All right, we're about to throw the circumcision party tonight. You get what I'm saying? And so they're all pumped about that. And they got all these rules. You can't eat that. You can't do that. They have all these just rules. And the issue here, and where Peter's got this wrong, is that's not the gospel. All right, the gospel, we don't get to heaven by doing a bunch of rules, which, by the way, there's a bunch of churches in town, right, here in Tiffin, all over the place, all over the world, that teaches you have to do a bunch of stuff to get to heaven. That's exactly the issue that's going on here. We have not changed much, okay? And so that's not it, all right? It's not about how good we are. It's about us surrendering our lives, because I got really bad news for all of us. All right, we aren't good enough, and we never will be good enough, at least on this side of heaven, all right? So you can stop putting your stock into that. It's almost like the opposite. It's the idea of you just go and you're giving up. You're like, God, I'm not good enough. I only trust in you. It's not Jesus and, it's just Jesus, okay? So that's the issue. And so you got Peter. Peter's hanging out with these dirty Gentiles, and Peter's doing his thing until the religious people show up, and they're like, whoa, 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 Peter, what are you doing? Why are you eating that? Peter, why are you eating with those people? Right, these religious Jews showed up. They're all judgmental, right? They're all making all these judgment calls on all these other people. They're looking down on everybody else. Wow, I'm not like them. I would never eat that. That's against my rule. All right, I am better than all these people. That's the heart that's coming out of it. It's the judgmental heart towards these all non-Jews. And so they go to the next cookout the next day or whenever that was. And so somebody comes up. He's like, Peter, check this out. I just smoked this sausage all night, some non-Jewish people. And he hands it to Peter. And Peter's like, oh, no, I would never eat anything like that. No, that's against the rules. I'm not doing it. And he's doing it simply to try to impress his Jewish friends. And so the problem is, all right, he acts one way with this group of people, and he acts another way with that group of people, and that is messed up. All right, it is jacked up. And so here's Paul. He's watching from the table because Paul's got all his, you know, he's eating all his bacon on the other side. He sees all this happening, and he's like, wow, that is a problem. Like, Peter is so wrong in this, and even worse, he's a leader of the church. Right? Like, he's supposed to be, like, leading us in this. And so he wasn't even the only one. Paul says that the rest of the Jews join in Peter's hypocrisy. And so it almost, like, splits the church in that sense. And so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. All right, Barnabas was one of Paul's really good friends. I wonder if he's writing this, if he's just like, man, Barnabas was even messed up in this. I mean, Barnabas was the guy who covered for Paul when Paul first became a Christian. Because when Paul first became a Christian, actually, he was the guy that was hunting down all the other Christians and trying to kill them all. All right? Not cool, by the way. And so when he becomes a Christian, all the other Christians were like, well, I don't want to hang out with that guy. He might kill me. You get what I'm saying? And so everybody's like, I'm not so sure about this Paul guy. And Barnabas is like, no, I got him. He vouched for him. He's like, Paul's with me. All right? This is that guy. And so even Barnabas, kind of like Paul's, Paul looked up to Barnabas. He's like, even he was led astray by their hypocrisy. And so when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, that, by the way, is exercising good judgment. That is what we're always looking, not just even within our own life, which is first, but also within the lives of the people around us. We're always trying to figure out, hey, are they living their life correctly in the sense of are they deviating from the truth of the gospel? Because if they are, then what they're doing is actually not good for them. And because we care about them, we should be able to point that out. We should be bold enough and gentle enough to point that out. And so that's exactly what Paul does. So he goes and he tells Peter in front of everybody, in front of the whole crowd. He says, hey, man, if you're a Jew and you live like a Gentile sometimes, because I've seen the foods that you eat and stuff, like you are one of us. He says, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Like, how, you can't play it both ways, Peter. Basically, he's saying, hey, Peter, why are you giving the Gentiles all these needless rules when you don't even follow all the rules at all times yourself. Like, I saw you a couple days ago. You're stuffing your face with that bacon. All right, I saw it. It's against your rule. See, Paul's saying, when I saw Peter living out of step with the gospel, when I saw Peter living out of step with Jesus, Paul's saying, I called him out. And the question for you is, when you are out of step with Jesus, all of us get there sometimes, do you have relationships with people in your life who love you enough to oppose you? Do you have people in your life that love you enough to oppose you? And if you don't have anyone opposing you when you're wrong, I'm just saying, maybe what you need is you need to invite someone to do so. See, for me, I got some guys in my life that they see me off track. Like, they just straight up tell me. And I appreciate that. I don't like it at the time, though, usually. I'm always like, ugh, you know, like, shut up. Like, it bothers me. Like the pride in me, like, pushes back. But there's people in my life that I got that they're like, hey, hold up, bro. All right, like, you're heading down the wrong path in this area. Like, if you go this way, it will not end well for you. This isn't right. That's not good for you, right? And the question is, like, that's what the church is supposed to be. Like, that's how we are supposed to be with each other. The question is, do you have friends like that? Or maybe the question is, are you this kind of friend? Or are you more concerned with what that friend thinks about you? See, love forbids us from simply minding our own business, especially when we notice that their business needs minding. See, that's not judgmental. That's love. And that's exercising good judgment. And so as I look at us today, I think we could kind of divide us up into three groups. And to be honest, I think all of us are probably at some level or another a part of all three groups, okay? But for some of us, our issue is we see people sin in our life and we write them off, right? We see people sin in their life and we look down on them and we got this like giant 2x4 in our eye. We don't even notice it. And we look at everybody else and we're just like, man, I'm pretty good compared to that person. All right, like, I've never done what that person did before, right? Or we think, I'm not self-absorbed like him, or I don't talk negatively about people like she always does, or I'm a way harder worker than that one guy at work, all right? I'm not lazy, and we think that we're pretty good in comparison to those people. But Jesus is saying, man, you look at other people's faults and sins before your own. That's messed up. He says, first, what's he say? Take the wood out of your eye in preparation for removing the speck out of their eye. See, others of us, we see people sin in pride, gossip, laziness, whatever it might be in their life. And we don't necessarily think we're better, but we notice it. But what we do is we just refuse to acknowledge it to them. Right? Like the honest truth, if this is you, you're a people pleaser. And so the last thing you want to do is cause any issues. Like, you never want to confront anyone regarding any sin or any wrong in their life. And for you, is pointing out sin in another person's life, it just makes you uncomfortable. And I get it, and I totally understand that. All right? Even if it's your own children, or even if it's your own best friend, even if it's somebody you got a great relationship with. So sometimes I talk to some of your parents. You guys have told me this, where your kids are grown up, they've kind of left the house. And they're not living the way God has called them to live. And you know that. You see that in their life. And what you'll come and talk to me about, you're like, man, this is just not right. But what can I do? And you just let it go. And I get that might be the easiest thing. And I get why you do it. Because you don't want to rock the boat. You're like, man, our relationship, like, I just value this so much. But the honest truth is, you care more about your friendship or about your relationship than the person that you have the friendship with. And that ain't right. See, we see this all the time. We even do this publicly, right? Again, I hate Facebook. But think about, like, Facebook. You got some lady, she's cheating on her husband. She posts a picture on Facebook and, you know, make a dinner with my boyfriend or whoever. And what do? We like. Or the guy cheating on his wife, he posts a picture, had a great night with this so-and-so last night, you know, and we go, like, right? Or there's a couple maybe who's just recently got a divorce and you know, they post big old thing like, wow, starting a new chapter in my life. I got this going on. I got that going on. What do we do? Like, we have friends that are partying out the night before and, you know, they're getting drunk and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. What do we like? Some of us, probably even, this happens probably more than the rest of them, you know, they get on Facebook and they start like venting. So they're just like complaining about all these different little things. And we're like, a lot of us, you might even agree with it. And what do? We like. When we're doing that, instead of confronting sin in that person's life, saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this publicly. Like, that's not what we've talked about the last few weeks, right? Instead of doing that, right, what we're actually doing is we're encouraging them to do it. See, some of you guys, we're people pleasers, and it's not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for us. And we are ignoring Jesus telling us to take the speck out of their eye. We're supposed to help them. And we're not a good friend. And the third group of people, and we probably all fall under this at some times, but we are someone in our life has pointed out our sin, and we refuse to listen. And you know how you tell? It's because when someone ever offers any suggestion or any correct, you know, they try to gently correct you in your life, you get all defensive. You got all these reasons why your thing's okay. You may have even used this verse. You know, the Bible says, don't judge. All right, you have no right to judge me. All right, what about all your problems? Or mind your own business. But if you are completely honest with yourself, and if you were to dig down deep, right, you would know that they were actually right. You just don't want to admit it in front of them. Maybe you don't even want to admit it to yourself. But what they said was true. See, if you're serious about growing in your relationship with Jesus, man, you need others. It's just true. It's how God put it together. I wish it wasn't that way. All right, it'd be so much easier if we're just like solo, all right? But it's not how he has designed us. And so you should have friends in your life who love you enough to point out your issues. And if you have good people in your life who take the chance to point out how messed up you are, and I'm just saying, if you stiff arm them and you get defensive, you actually might find yourself stiff-arming God, who might be using your friend to point out an area that he wants you to work on, that he wants you to fix. You see, all three groups have things that they need to work on. Some of you guys, you need to get right with God because you got this beam of wood in your eye. Some of us, we need to confront those who we love. And the attitude behind that is not a judgmental attitude. The attitude is, you know, you might get mad at me, but I love you more than what you think about me. Some of you guys got people that you care about in your life that you really care about that you need to send a text to this afternoon, or you need to pick up the phone and call and have a conversation with this afternoon, gently opposing them. And still others of us, before we get all worried about our little feelings getting hurt, we need to listen to the people who are pointing out the things in our life that are out of step with God. We need to take it serious. We need to thank them for that instead of getting all offended. So that's what we need to work on this week. And it's tough, and it's hard, and it's awkward. But it's what Jesus tells us to do. And our relationships will be better because of it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for telling us how to do relationships. Relationships, something that you invented, you made. We all got them. Some of them not good. Some of them decent, but Lord, we always have issues and they pop up and they arise different times. And God, we ask that you would help us to do life your way and help us to fix our messy relationships the way that you've called us to do it. Help us to be bold and from a humble point of view, help us to point out things that are out of step in our friends' lives, especially if they're a Christian or call themselves a Christian. God, help us to, before we do that, to remove any sin or remove the issues in our life. Help us to examine ourselves first. And then, Lord, when people are correcting us, help us to listen. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. We need your help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.